Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Love is Blind, Season 6, Episode 8 and 9 recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
See, I had to button up my last button, make sure I, you know, tease anybody on here, you know? Me with my Jimmy body, I didn't want to tease anybody and get them all hot and bothered this evening.
No one's going to be excited about the taco meat on your chest. Just let that go.
I come from the Hillis tribe. We don't have taco meat. Hey, shout out to everybody checking in. Karen, good evening, guys. Hey, Allison, I love what you're saying. The pods are open. Let's go. Exactly. The podcast is open. Hey, you know, somebody haven't seen in a while, man, has jumped back in the chat. My man, Drew. What up, homie? Long time, man. Long time. Look, so much to get to. And, you know, and I want to say this. We covered episode 7 yesterday, right? And I know some people decided to jump ahead, and we're going to address some of those comments when we finally catch up to where they actually came into. But man, some of y'all jumped off the cliff quick. Jesus, what is going on? What the hell?
Yeah, I think we might have poked the bear on some people.
I think even the bear was irritated, like, damn, really? Y'all upset for this? Amanda, we're glad you finally caught up on the episode. So now that we're getting to the last of these episodes before they drop 10 and 11, we can address all the stuff, including those comments that were there from Jesus yesterday. I'm just letting that live right there for a second. All right, let's go. Yeah.
Let it marinate.
And exactly, Bodine. Ain't nobody playing with Kenneth. Exactly. No. All right, let's get to it, man. What's that? What you got there?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. I wouldn't say anything. Oh, actually, okay. I was going to respond to Sean Unfiltered, let him know about the LaRon interview, but I highlighted it. We can talk about it after.
Okay, cool. Well, let's get started with Chelsea and Jimmy then, because, you know, they're going to go see Chelsea's place and her roommate is there to greet them. And the first thing Jimmy immediately notices, yeah, she's too much. I already got enough to deal with Chelsea. I'm not dealing with two of them. There's no way we're moving in here.
Yeah. Her roommate, Tiffany, just the energy that both of them have, I couldn't imagine being in the same room with them for a long period of time. And then what did Tiffany say? Just so you know that we're married. I'm like, this is some kind of menage that she's about to hook up or what? But it was a lot. But her place seemed really small for two people. So definitely there's no way that Jimmy would ever move in there.
So real quick, CJ says, is it me or is Terrell sound is a little bit low?
I know. Anyone else? High Vibe, how's my sound?
You know, High Vibe will tell you how it is for
She'll
real.
She'll tell me. Yeah. or Marjan.
Yeah.
UTSA Roadrunner, how's my sound? Do I sound?
Where's my snare? What was interesting? Drew says, sounds good to me. Erica says, I can hear him fine. Everybody else is saying you're good. So it might be their computer. So back to Chelsea and Jimmy. Jay Noel says, did Chelsea lie about having a dog named Trevor? Because we didn't see that dog, right? Did she lie about having a dog, period? Did you see a dog?
I didn't, but a lot of people did say when we talked about that in that episode that she was joking, that she had a dog named Trevor. So maybe she really doesn't have a dog named Trevor. Who knows?
Right. And that could be it. That could exactly be it. So maybe she just didn't have a dog, period. Jimmy's place is small, but at least he doesn't have a roommate.
True, but his place was actually pretty nice. You know, for a good little bachelor pad, I thought it was pretty nice. So if Chelsea moves in there, it's going to be tight. But I think two people could do that for a year.
In a studio?
I think two people can do that for a year.
You think so?
Okay. Well, I mean, for two people in a studio, that's tight.
So I'm assuming when we see Chelsea's friends and they show up, they're back in that shared space that Love is Blind is paying for, right? So her friends show up and she starts telling them about her experience in the pod. And of course, Trevor comes up.
Because as she told her friends, a bunch of guys wanted her. Made it sound like she was just the top pick of everybody. Her and Jimmy were the top ones of everybody else in the pods. So she's talking to her friends and just really getting all giddy about it and kind of explaining the pod experience. They go outside because Jimmy's upstairs working. And then everything seems good until Chelsea starts talking about, well, he hasn't kissed me once today. And we're like, okay, here it goes. I was hoping that her friends are going to be like, wait, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. Why are you being so sensitive? But they kind of fed right into it a little bit. And then she talks about how Jimmy saw a picture of Jessica.
Yeah.
And is kind of all in her head now about that.
And that's where we understand where the issue begins. Because even then, she's just thinking that that's the reason why, right? Well, then Jimmy shows up as they start really asking all kind of questions and stuff. Well, Jimmy shows up and now they have questions for Jimmy. And, you know, well, how did you know? And what was it like? And we understand you were the hot commodity. And he was like, what lies did you just tell?
Of course, he's like, well, thank you. And Jimmy's coming off a high because his boss told him today he was irreplaceable. I was like, your boss lied because everybody's replaceable. Yeah. That's fine. Your boss made you feel good today, but you are replaceable. Everybody is. And so he's sitting there in the hot seat as they're trying to fire off questions and Chelsea's trying to make it cute. Did you notice how many rings Chelsea had on each hand?
No.
So she has three rings on each hand. Actually, her left hand has four rings because of her wedding ring. But we talked about this one time on the pod. I'm like, girls that have like multiple rings always make me nervous. Two thumb rings. So, but we already know Chelsea's crazy. I don't need the rings to prove it. But her friends, she asked her friends, who do people say I look like? And they said, Carrie Underwood. And I was like, where did Carrie Underwood come from? And then they go,
hey, like Jay DeVos said, they dragged poor Carrie Underwood into
leave Carrie Underwood out of this. And then they're like, oh yeah, well, Megan Fox. I'm like, y'all are not good friends to lie to your friend like that at all.
At all. Exactly. That is the crazy thing about it. But they went along. They were friends enough to, well, we'll help you with this lie, baby. But mm-mm, that's not what people say.
maybe they're ride or die. Like, hey, you want that lie? I'm going to rock with you all day long. Everybody says she looks like Megan Fox. All of our friends, even the blind ones say it. Yeah, she's crazy as all get
out.
They'd
have been better off saying Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah. And then like her Chelsea is crass to me and her friends are too. Cause when her friends were asked her before Jimmy came down about really trying to allude to what the sex is like. I'm like, well, his shoes are really big. Who does this crap? Mm-hmm. I just don't understand. And then I guess Chelsea does this hell yeah brother thing that Jimmy hates. And I didn't like it either. I was like, oh God, I don't want some girl to be dating me. Be like, hell yeah, brother. No.
In the middle of the throes of fashion. Hell yeah, brother.
Could you imagine? Hey, babe, let's go in the other room and have sex. Hell yeah, brother. Trying to be a macho man, Randy Savage, or am I with my fiance? Who am I with today?
Yo, Jimmy asked how different is he from her usual type, and they beat around the bush, obviously, and then finally got to what it really was, right?
Yeah, she said he's nothing like her original type. And they didn't really give us more context to say, is that good or bad? Because I don't know if her original type is really bad for her. But Jimmy apparently doesn't look like her original type. But I'm curious about if they're normally bigger guys or whatever. But I'm curious more about what they were like from a character standpoint, if Jimmy fits into that or not.
Well, here's the interesting thing about it, because they try to dance around it first. And he's like, oh, she already told me what she used to date. So you guys, he almost like was telling them, it's okay. You don't have to lie for her. Because they were trying their best to dance around the topic, and it's like, yeah, there's no need to dance around it. I already know. So it was one of those things that I think he recognizes he's not going to get the truth from them at all.
No, they're going to have her back. They keep telling her she looks like Megan Fox. So they have her back 100%. He's not going to get any tea from her friends.
Not in it. It says, I have a bone to pick with Yanni about AD. I'll wait. You don't have to wait long. We're about to get to AD and Clay next. I want to definitely shout out Kaltum Ibrahim, who says, I can't watch this live due to work, but please drag Kenneth for filth. Have no fear. We got you.
Got you covered.
We got you covered. But first, let's get to AD and Clay and why Naughty Nitta has a bone to pick with me. But I mean, I don't think it has to do with this part. It probably has to do with a little bit more. But says, here's the thing. They're going to go see Clay's place. And Clay's covering the cold, right? And AD right. calls him out for it. But do you blame him? The cameras are running. I don't need the world to see. I am not in control of the editing.
Right.
I don't know which one of these camera people or grips or mic holders are going to be like, well, he did have something nice hanging up in there. Let me go. I know where they are for the next couple of weeks. So I don't blame him for covering the code. You can't blame the man for that.
I don't blame him one bit. You know, I don't think he was covering the code because he doesn't trust AD. I think to your mm-hmm. point, there's cameras around. You just yeah. never know who can see the order. His house was nice, though. I mean, it definitely mm-hmm. needs. I don't like the phrase it needs a woman's touch. It needs a designer. Mm-hmm. It needs someone that could add a little bit more flair. It does look like he just, you know, graduated a couple years ago, bought his first home, and it's mm-hmm. really nice. It's a beautiful home, and I think it's great for, you know, to start a family with. He has mm-hmm. his vision board in there.
Yep.
Because
she noticed the vision board, and that's when I really noticed that she has that, what do you call it? The vocal fry. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, AD, stop. Jesus, stop. And we'll get to that later too, because, oh my God. Why was that so necessary? She turned into what was that whiny girl from Married at First Sight we talk about that had that all the time? She literally turned into her.
I can't, it's all blurs together at this point. I can't quite remember. But did you catch this where, you know, Clay had these books. And so AD asked, have you read all of them? And he said he's read some of them. I'm like, I'd have dug deeper because I do believe, you know, you have a bookcase. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who just throw a lot of fake books or books they're not going to read, but to make it look like
right.
they're deep. Mm-hmm. I would ask, like, right. which book did you not read? Why didn't you not read that one? So right. I think that was, I hope she dug a little bit deeper into that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, overall, I didn't really have an issue with his place. Now, do you think that when they get into his bedroom and they're looking at his jersey, I guess they retired his jersey. I mean, apparently he was a baller of an athlete. I started to think at this moment, I'm like, maybe my issue with Clay is that he's trying to chase that rush of being an athlete when you have all the fame and everybody loves you. That's why he comes across this way where he's trying to be overly charismatic when he doesn't need to be and where it comes across fake.
I don't know where you get that part of him being this used car salesman at times, right? But I think it's just part of his character. It's not his character, but that's his personality. And he can be that bubbly that way. What I did think when I saw his jersey and the fact that he was a three-time SEC All-American basketball player, he also ran track for the South Carolina Gamecocks. I'm like, all right, how many women changed their mind about Clay? Because they were dragging him for miles. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe he's not so bad after all. That's the first thing I thought.
You thought they're going to give it a pass because of his athletic accomplishments and his, yep. you know, he owns his house. They're going to be like, yeah, actually, Clay's really good. I'm like, no, Clay is still Clay. He's still yeah. who he is. It's great he's got those achievements and he's earned every one of them. No doubt about that. But the dude mm-hmm. still comes across like a salesman to me. I'm still not sold on him.
Now, Deja says that Clay's the only homeowner. We know Jeremy owned his house before, right?
It was Jeremy that sold his. He's renting now because mm-hmm. he wants to buy a home with someone.
Right. And then Johnny, because somebody else also brought up Johnny. But Johnny is actually ready because he wants to buy. That's a conversation that they end up having and we'll talk about it. So he actually He's the only homeowner right now, right?
That's what it's looking like. And I bet Matthew owned his own home.
Yeah. I bet you that Allison's like, Jeremy's also a liar. Damn, we haven't gotten there yet. Damn it, Allison. Karen says
it's
Clay's
like,
still
it's
a
like
jerk.
Double Dutch. They're just waiting for their moment to jump in.
and Sapphire says Clay still needs therapy, period. He's got his home, but he still needs some therapy. Okay. All right.
100%.
Well, let 80 is ready to move in, and we're ready to move on. Let's get to Laura and Jeremy here. As we get through, because there's a lot to get to in episode 8 and episode 9. We got to cover two episodes today. Jeremy's house that we just talked about, he's got a gym in the garage. This is, what did he say? He had a 4-bedroom, but of course, this is the rental, right? So,
right. Right. But his place was immaculate. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know me, but his place looks staged, so I can relate. Mm-hmm. To that.
And Laura's so disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, she I know. Really, yeah, because he has, you know, the matching gold, you know, silverware and utensils and all that stuff. Very OC, it's about cleanliness. And I get so annoyed when all these people think, well, guys are normally, when they say they're clean, but they're really not. What kind of dudes Laura's been messing with? Because even when I was Jeremy's age, I couldn't afford to stage my place, but my place was always clean. At that time. So I'm just like, why does people always assume guys' places are nasty?
Well, she's also saying it gives serial killer vibes, but here's the problem labels. I had. Jeremy, yeah, because of the way his labels are and all that. But the other, here's the thing that's crazy. Jeremy's so clean, yet he let Laura, and actually he did too, walk her nasty ass shoes throughout his house and even jump on the bed with the shoes on. And he did it too. He's not that damn clean.
We know that you have an issue with that. I totally get it.
I'm just saying.
I totally get it. But it's his house. He lets people walk in shoes in their house. People can wear shoes in my house. When you come next weekend, keep your shoes on. I don't want to smell your feet walking around my house downstairs. Do that upstairs.
I know people have these memes about washing feet online. Don't get near my feet. Thank you very much. Stop it.
So Laura called him out about the serial killer part. And when you talked about the labels in the refrigerator has to be facing forward, it reminded me of that movie Jennifer Lopez was in, I think called Enough, where she wound up, you know, training to whip her husband's tail in that movie. I was like, yeah, you're that OCT that every label has to be up front. That's a little, or I'm sorry, as Laura would say, it's giving serial killer.
Just a little bit. Amy and Johnny. When they go to Amy's place, Johnny finds out that Amy's a crystals girl and says it immediately. That's a flag.
I worked at Whole Foods. I came across some people that were deep into crystals and they're just a little different. I'm not saying that people who have crystals are wrong. My experience has been they're a little different with the crystals. A little different.
Now, they're talking about finances, and both of them on the same page about buying a house, as we were just talking about. But Johnny also wants to be frugal, and retire early. And she's like, yeah, well, maybe not so much, though. We got to at least enjoy life. This is where I come in to help you.
Well, I think you do need a balance, because he wants to buy a house. He wants to retire early. He didn't give an age, and I forget how old
he did.
Johnny
he said
is.
50. He said he wants to retire at 50.
So to retire at 50, and how old, do you remember how old he is right now?
Not that important.
Scrolling a bit. So, I mean, yeah, you could live frugal, but then if you think about wanting to have kids, anything could happen with kids. You just never know. I think they got to have more conversations around what being frugal looks like, what do they splurge on, and then how do they budget for the what-if factor when you have children.
Right. They get to talking about kids and birth control, and of course, this ties into his finances as well. Johnny doesn't want kids without being financially secure first, and still bringing up birth control. So Amy does what I've noticed a lot of women doing now, which is bringing up the vasectomy, right? And is this a bad deal? What she's saying? Like, well, because if it's such a big deal for him about putting her on birth control, then why doesn't he just go on birth control? And you can be sure she doesn't get pregnant. Just snip, snip. And then resolder if you need to get when it's time for kids.
Okay, but all vasectomies are not always reversible. So there's a little bit of a risk there. Mm-hmm. And I believe Amy put out a statement. I don't know if you got a chance to catch that. I probably should have forwarded it to you, where she addresses the stuff that came up. And mm-hmm. because of her health condition that she has, she's nervous about taking like she different types of birth control, what it's going to do to her hormones. Mm-hmm. So I get it, right? And they've talked about condoms. Apparently, Johnny's okay with using condoms, but he's worried that what if she still gets pregnant? I'm like, Johnny, wear the condom and pull out. At the same time, like I don't know. She didn't share his reason and what the way he grew up and why this is a big deal to him, but apparently it's really a big deal that he's worried about having babies too soon, and that's going to ruin his whole financial planning for himself.
Well, that's kind of what she talked about when she's talking to the producers. She said that Johnny doesn't think the condoms are just enough, right? So at the end of the day, that's what it is. So when people are saying, why not the condoms? His pullout game is weak. Yeah, he doesn't think the condoms and his pullout game is enough. And apparently he's got super sperm that can, you know, escape the condom and will impregnate her immediately. That's why every woman has to be... And maybe he has a vasectomy, they'll still be able to, you know, jump the ramp and get over there.
He's got that marine sperm, right? They're going to make it hurt.
He's got that Malcolm X sperm. By any means necessary. It's like, what the hell? Oh, my God. But, hey, this is their issue. This is something somebody said in the comments before, too. It's like, wait a minute. They're talking about they want that big fight. This should be their big fight. And as mentioned here, why didn't they have... Sinan's fan says, that's a conversation they should have had in the pods. And I wonder if they actually did have that or not.
So she says in her post that she did that she did talk to him about her condition and that if she had kids... chances are high that her condition will get passed on to the kids. She shared that with him in the pods. So they did have some of these conversations, but you're not going to spend all the hours in the pods really drilling deep down to this kid issue because it still depends. What if he meets her and doesn't really like her or she doesn't like him? I mean, they still have time to have this conversation, but at least it's good that they're having it now. And still going to be talking about that probably until decision day. What do we call it in this show?
The wedding.
The weddings. There you go. Goodness.
Yes. Yeah, Danielle says it sounds like he has some childhood trauma. And Jay Noel says, you can't date a Hispanic woman and expect not to have kids.
Damn.
Really? What happened?
Bitty, bitty, bomb, bomb.
Dorica says he's being extra dramatic. He doesn't think condoms are enough. Then don't have sex, but don't pressure her. Here's where I agree. You cannot pressure her to get on birth control.
Right.
Right there. And especially if she has health reasons as to here's why this, right? Even though she says, oh, it will help with this, this, and this. Here's the thing. I just don't want to. And whatever happened to my body, my choice.
Yeah, I don't think he should pressure her.
Or is that only work in politics?
Well, in Texas. it doesn't work in Texas, but I meant to say. But I don't think he's pressuring her to get on the pill. They're having this conversation because she even said that he wasn't. But I think you're right that if she doesn't want to get on the pill, then we need to find another solution. But her getting on the pill or taking some type of birth control, if that's not going to work for her, you got to figure out a way to work around that. And then also plan to, because I like how she's thinking, what if a year from now I happen to get pregnant and we already have our home and all that? Yeah, it wasn't planned, but at least we have our home. We have a family. There's enough love to give. And he's like, yeah, no, I don't want that because he has his financial plan. And I'm just like, man, you can't be that rigid in your plan. Coming from a planner, I said that out loud.
Yes,
you can't be that rigid in your
plan. That's an orange flag. The fact that he's like, no, my plan. And those are the three things and the three goals we have in life. My plan. Plain and simple.
Jessica says it was presumptuous.
Jessica says it was presumptuous of him to assume she would be on the pill. It was. But, you know, he's like, look, I've never dated another woman of another race before, and all my women...
Everybody I've dated before, either the IUD or the pill, you got options. You need to do something. But, you know, he never said that he... I'm really curious. Is he Mr. Raw Dog? Or does he, like, double up condoms and birth control and pull out just to make sure I don't mess up my future plan?
It really does sound like... Because the first thing you and I thought when he started all his nonsense was... You know, sometimes you just got to use a condom, bro. You got a raw dog it all the time. What's wrong with you? And that should give her some concern. That alone should give her some concern. But then again, and maybe the whole cleanup is, well, he just doesn't feel condoms is enough.
Well, I think it's part of that sentence. He just doesn't feel when condoms are enough. You don't feel it. Maybe that's what he's trying to allude to. I don't know. I feel like there's more to that story.
But you know, they just don't fit.
Okay. These magnums are too small. Okay, Johnny. Well, I mean, I'm hoping and I think that there's going to be more conversations they're going to have about this on camera throughout the next few episodes. So I'm curious to see where this storyline goes.
Hey, Drew's saying it sounds like he doesn't want to have kids. I mean, I get it. He doesn't want them before his time because, Drew, my plan, the three goals of this entire relationship. Well, speaking of relationships, this is the one, man, people jumped on this one in the last episode. When we just did episode 7, Brittany and Kenneth. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Kenneth's place?
Okay. I have a lot of issues with Kenneth's place, right? His refrigerator being that empty is odd. Right. I get maybe have some condiments.
They've been gone for a couple weeks.
Hold on. I get maybe have some condiments in the door or something like that. But to be that empty, I was like, OK, I'm a minimalist. Maybe I can see that. His cabinets are just messy as hell. Just stuff just thrown in there. But the thing that I can't let go is what black man has only two seasonings in this house? Italian seasoning and oregano. He said, this is the spice cabinet. I'm like, those aren't spices. That's Italian seasoning and oregano. There's no Lowry's. There's no Tony Satcheries. There's nothing. And I was just like, dude, and you're in North Carolina. You're telling me you don't have anything except Italian seasoning and oregano? I call bullshit.
Nicole says, Kenneth played that Uno reverse card. Jay Noel say he's saying pro-black with two spices in his cabinet. And Nicole is back saying he has no spice.
Well, but watching this, I'm like, I get why he needs a woman to cook for him. Because he doesn't have anything to cook with.
Well, look, at all. That's why he was like, no, well, you got to cook. Apparently, he doesn't know how to use seasoning. So, therefore, that's what it is. No,
yeah, something's not right about
Kenneth's fridge is giving poverty.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something not right about this. It almost reminds me of, I think it was Married at First Sight, where the girl's like, she doesn't live there. And I'm like, Kenneth, you're telling me this is where you live? And you have two seasonings? And that's it?
Yeah.
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 Lies.
Cootie Rat says, tell you are correct. That was not his place.
It couldn't have been.
Well, Matthew has a great point, though. If you don't cook, why buy supplies? He doesn't cook.
Okay, but Matthew, even if you don't cook, even when I didn't know how to cook, I had seasonal and I had Lowry's. Didn't know what to do with them, but I knew I needed those two things at least to have something. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Italian seasoning and oregano. Not buying it.
Jessica says he is 25.
That's not an excuse. I was 25 too. Okay, salt and pepper. Show me salt and pepper. Show me a jar of hot sauce. Show me something. But just Italian seasoning and oregano for
nope,
no 25 is no excuse for that. No, 25 is no excuse for that.
Hey, do us a favor while you're at it, because thank you, Bodine, who says, look, man, 340 watching, 10 likes. Hit that like button while you're at it. You're in here. Please do us a favor. Hit that like button. After we inspect his kitchen and realize there's nothing in there, they're sitting on the couch and they're talking about the difference at least, well, Brittany's talking about the difference in his behavior from the pods and in the DR to now that they're back in Charlotte. And do you give Kenneth that pass when he's like, look, I'm not going to be this way 100% of the time. Like, I can't be bubbly all the time. And none of us are the same way all the time. We're all a little different. We all can be a little moody at times. We can be up. We can be down. We can be relaxed. We can be chill. We can be excited. Does he have a point?
No, not at all. I didn't agree with anything that he said right there. And here's why. Here's why I didn't agree with anything he said right there. First off, body language tells a whole story. He's asking, she's asking how he's feeling. He's like, I'm ecstatic on this phone. You're ecstatic. You're ecstatic and just sitting on your phone, just on the couch, just chilling. And so then this whole not being bubbly all the time. Okay, yes, in a relationship, you're not always going to be bubbly every day. You're going to have mornings where you're not in the mood. You're going to have mornings where you're frustrated with your partner, work, whatever else. But that's after time in a relationship. They've been around each other for 7 days. You can't get it together for 7 days and you got to be in your feelings for whatever he's dealing with, whatever he's thinking about. I don't buy it. He doesn't get a pass for that.
Shelby says that was such a cop out. Yeah. The fact of, yeah, I'm not going to be this way all the time. I get why you're saying now they're back at their place. Right. Mm-hmm. Before they get there, I just want to point out, as I'm watching these two on the couch and they get past that conversation, and he's like, you got to give me some grace and all this other stuff. A lot of people were saying this before, and especially even in the comments yesterday, that they see friend vibes from them. They don't see this romantic connection with them, right? And as I'm watching them on the couch and I'm like, even when they get to the resolution and they shared a kiss, if I remember correctly, right? It really gave off friend vibe. It really did. I was like, damn. How did I miss this? Because we were all rooting for them, right, Nicole? We were rooting for them. We were rooting for these two. We're like, this is the couple. We're like, Amy and Johnny, cool, but this is number one. Amy and Johnny just dropped down to number two. This is number one, Brittany and Kenneth, and then we get this next scene with them back at their place. And you knew this was not going to be good when he is over them fries and he is tearing them jokers up. He's not... That's his conversation with her, because at least he had the DC to cover his mouth so he's not spitting food at her the whole time. But
I'll be damned, I didn't want to hear her like that, right?
Production should have been like, all right, we'll wait. Yeah. We'll wait.
Are you going to offer her a fry at least? You got to like, share some fries?
I would offer you some, but you might say yes.
So this is where there's been a lot of things that has changed a lot of people's views about Brittany and Kenneth, specifically Kenneth. And this is where it just really went. It was already going bad from his I'm not bubbly every morning comment down to this part. So apparently Kenneth came in at 1:30 in the morning. Now, my first thought is this. Now, I've not been married, but do you just randomly come home at 1:30 in the morning when you're married? I feel like there's some rules to
not
that.
Not if you
there's
want peace and quiet.
Exactly. So then, but he
not
comes
you want
home
peace and quiet and to live in peace.
So he comes home at 1:30 in the morning, and then I don't know how he was trying to wake her up, but apparently trying to give her some affection, and knowing she has to get up at 5:30 in the morning, and the lights are on. But that's what throws me off, is because if y'all committed to wait until marriage to have sex, you got to wake her up just for a quick makeout sesh, and then to go back to sleep.
Okay. They haven't made out, though.
Right.
That's one of the things came up in this conversation.
What are you waking her up for? To do what? Would you even do that? You could just climb into bed and went to sleep. Well, you wake up to what? Talk?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he said, in that whole conversation, he said he wanted to, because I think it was a cop-out, right, in that sense. I'm going to use this as an excuse, because you're right. There's no reason to wake somebody up when you come in late, other than to be like, I'm here. To get some. Well, they're not giving each other none, so therefore there's none of that. They're already not making out, so it wasn't a make out. And even if he came in drunk and maybe a little horny, then y'all not going to that place. You already decided that. So it wasn't. I think it really was just in a sense to be able to say, well, I tried to love on you, and which is what he ended up saying. I tried to love on you, and right. you turned me down. And she's like, no, I was sleeping. Right. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't wake me up for us. We're not having sex. You just want to wake me up just because? Doesn't make sense. And I don't believe his story. So you went to, I know getting your hair twisted, I've never had it done, but I know that's not a 30-minute trip to the barbershop like I get my hair cut. I get that could take some time.
Right.
I've had mentors. I've never hung out with my mentors late night, ever. Mm-hmm. It's a phone call.
Yeah.
Or we meet for lunch, meet for dinner. But never, I was out with my mentor till 1 a.m. I'm not buying that.
Well, I mean, you know, you never know what the mentor was doing.
I don't. I know there's been a lot of people making a lot of comments and speculation. So let me just call that out right now. I don't assume anything from it about anybody unless I hear them say it. All I know is I've never hung out with a mentor till 1 a.m. and being, you know, being engaged and my girl's at home. I've never done that. So I don't, I just don't understand that deal at all.
Now, he did say that he let her know what was happening along the way. That he let her, she knew everywhere he was going. He did say that part. But again, if you know you're going to be late, that's a part of what you, it's part of growing up. It's part of living with somebody. You're no longer just about you. When it's just you and your house and that's it. You stay out as long as you want and do what you want and don't have to report to anybody. And that's a great life. Until you decide to share that life with somebody else, then that's out the window, right? Well, Brittany says she has a lot to say in this and saying that she's missing the crave for the relationship. And Ken is quick to point out that he doesn't feel like he's missing this craving that she's talking about for her.
Yeah. He said, well, for you, it isn't there, but it's there for me. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. It's there for you? When y'all were on the boat, you didn't really want to touch her. That's right. What you call crave? Mm-hmm. I don't know what crave is for Kenneth, but I'm like, that's not it. And this whole conversation, it went way south than what I thought it was going to go. I thought it was going to be just like every other Love is Blind where they're talking and then they, you know, we see them next time and they're good. So he said he doesn't feel she has been introspective and looked at her role in why they haven't been intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And that's when he tries to go into, I tried to wake you up. Dude, this is your fault. I was like, that's some gaslighting bullshit. I don't buy it at all. And Brittany even says, I'm very affectionate. She's told him that. And they barely kiss. They don't really make out, which I didn't know they weren't making out. And so once I'm hearing all this, I'm like, Kenneth, this is all you right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's because she's like, it feels awkward. Remember on the boat, she's like, no, touch on me. Touch me. I want that. He was. This is why you thought they were about to be better, because he's like, okay, I didn't want to feel like I was crowding you. And she's like, no, you can't touch me enough. Which says something.
Right. I want you to touch me. Even though we committed, we're not having sex until wedding day. There's a whole lot of things that we can do up until then. And I would hope that we were doing some of that. And she's not feeling it. Now, here's what, this is where it just went way left for me, that he walks away from this way too easily. He's just like, hey, so what I'm hearing you say is, you don't crave me, and that's cool. And pretty much, you know, God's going to have something better for me and something better for you, but this is not going to work. So give me a hug, no hard feelings. All right, you good? Okay, then. Goes back to his phone and walks away. I'm like, you didn't even put up a fight. So if there was those feelings for you, you didn't express any of that at all. So I'm like, mind blown on this whole situation.
It's been a whole lot, right? And people have been talking about exactly what is it, what's the reason for it, right? And a lot of it that's been coming up, Jay Noel says, like, I don't like the assumption that it's because Brittany was white. He knew she was. It's definitely something deeper. Because, yeah, you're right. He knew she was. He knew in the pods. Matter of fact, he thought she was blonde. It was obvious to each of them that they were not of the same race. So that's not the issue. So what is the issue?
I know. I don't think it's the... I know episode 7, you know, we alluded to that maybe it's the race issue. Maybe coming out to the real world, now it's like, crap, I got to really deal with this. But I'm not seeing any of that. If you're not even touching this person, not making out, not showing any type of effort, on your phone, just whole time, just being distracted, coming home at 1:30 in the morning, there's something else there. Don't know what it is. But I'm like, Kenneth, that's lame. I mean, everything he said is lame, the way he handled it. And poor Brittany. I think Brittany deserves better. If you're going to put up a fight. But he was just like, all right, cool. And just walks away like it's nothing.
Yeah.
He had no emotion. All that, I love you. And God said, you're weird to be together. It's not happening.
Stone River said she had too many black guys. He didn't want her. And maybe they didn't have the conversation of the fact that she dated other black guys before. And that maybe that's it. Who knows? I don't know. That's just an interesting one, though. But there are a lot of people who had a lot of things to say, and even saying like, oh, I can't believe that. Oh, y'all so hurt that he didn't want the white girl. Stop it. Because that is definitely not. And those commenters in the last video, yeah, you were dead wrong on that one. Because that's not the reason. Brittany doesn't matter. And a lot of sisters will even talk about this. And a lot of people have talked about it. She was a good girl for him. This he didn't want. And Stone River said he wanted a blonde. It could have been. Maybe that's what it was. Who knows?
And here's
people
here's
have a lot of other
said,
things, too.
Here's what we said when they first started to connect in the pods. We were saying that this is a real example of what Love is Blind is about. Can you fall in love with somebody not knowing what they look like? Now, sound of voice, you can tell they're black. They initiated what race they were. But we weren't rooting for the white girl. We weren't like, hey, Kenneth, ignore everybody else. But go over that white girl. But anybody that says that. And that's what I realized about doing these reviews. And all, you're not going to make everybody happy. And people have preconceived notions about you, me, whatever. Nothing we're going to say is going to change that. But as they say, hurt people. Whatever's going on in your world to make you think that Terrell and Yanni were conspiring, hoping that he would only pick the white girl, is the most ridiculous comment that I could ever see.
Hey, Deja says, knowing she was white and experiencing her whiteness is different.
That could be true.
That is so funny. The pods are so confined. Here's the thing about this, though. It's the same thing for everybody that's in these pods, right? You're in the pods. You're in a confined space. You're away. And once you get out, you get around each other. People get awkward. And then after that, they get comfortable. And then you throw them back in the real world and it's like, oh, now it's even more so. So that's funny, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But that could be it. He thought, I can make this work. Then he gets around. He's like, maybe not. But you know what? One thing I can probably say about Brittany. She probably has more than two spices or seasonings in her house.
I'm sure she does. Two last things on them before we move on, because we got to get moving on to the next one. Sean says she was trying too hard with the corporate language. Other than that, I liked her. I feel you, because like Allison says, Kenneth decided he didn't identify as a fiance anymore. Which is funny because, again, that's, if it's one thing that would have hurt me is to identify as this, identify as that. I mean, I get calling out race, but I'm just the identifying. No. This is what it is. There's no need to identify it. It's been identified.
I didn't understand the identify thing either. I was just like, this is weird.
Yeah. Now, next up was Chelsea and Jimmy, right? And oh my God, this was tough to watch because Chelsea starts to whine about Jimmy working all day and he hasn't told her that she's pretty and or as who put it up here first said early on, Nick Pick says, do you love me? 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 Do you love me now? But do you? Do you still love me? Tell me I'm pretty.
And she even said that because he's just Jimmy's looking like, where the hell is all this coming from?
Right.
And she's like, well, I just want you to come up and, you know, grab my face and say I'm pretty and you didn't do those things. And then the whole baby voice, you didn't kiss me one time today. It made me sad. Ugh, I can't take it. And then Jimmy, again, for the thousandth time, said he made his decision to be with you because he's happy to be with you. No matter what Jimmy says, she keeps second-guessing, questioning him, wanting him to constantly prove and say it over and over again. It's just exhausting.
I will say this. he's going and he's trying his best. When we know the truth is she's just threatened by Jess, right? And he's everything he can to make her feel good. And then finally he's just like, F it. You're clingy. And then that just, yo, you want to talk about fire? Here, let me throw some more gas on there.
Yeah, she's clingy. I was like, ooh, man, she's going to burn the rabbit. She's going to boil the rabbit on the stove.
Yeah.
She lost it. And now she's super triggered and angry to a level that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, she even complained about the way he says, I love you. It's not the yes. right pitch or not the right tone. And mm-hmm. I don't blame Jimmy for losing it, you know? And mm-hmm. then she was like, well, you know, I guess she was trying to have sex. And he said, yeah, well, I want to take a little breather from having sex.
He said, oh, I don't need that anymore.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I need a timeout on that too.
Yo, that was hilarious. And it's, she's too much. She really is too. This is why he is like, yeah, we could never have move into your place. But the thing about it, they never talked about getting a place together. It was like, all right, well, let's move into my closet and we'll keep that, you know. They never really talk about this. Well, why not just get a place for them together? Never understood it.
Yeah. I don't know if he wants to live with her. Like, could you imagine?
Zero says, Bree says, Zero Bree Roll says, Chelsea's doing this to herself. She really is. And she can't help it, though. That's the one thing. She cannot help it at all. Well, look, we get away from them for a quick second. And we see Laura and we see Jessica. Jessica shows up. And here's the thing that's interesting to me. Jessica's missing her daughter, Autumn, so much that she went home, took 2 days to herself before texting Autumn and letting her know that she was back. Really? Would you miss her so much?
I don't know if I buy that. I can't imagine a mom doing that.
Exactly.
I just can't imagine a mom doing that. As much as she, every time she talk about it, just to, I'm sorry.
That was a fake cry. That's how you know that was a fake cry.
But that's every time, right? Just, you know, because I have I'm sorry. So I just can't imagine her not calling her right away or going to see her right away. But I looked at these two as like the gossipy mean girl crew getting together to have some cocktails to spill some tea.
Mm-hmm. Jessica tells Laura about Jimmy sending her a friend request and then unsending it and this whole thing that's going on here. And then she's even saying that she's still feeling Jimmy. And even after seeing him, she's still feeling him. And she'd be willing to, you know, see him.
I don't know. I feel like that was for the TV. It's for the cameras. Yeah. I think that was for the camera. Because you don't tell the man you're gonna need your EpiPen when you see what you missed. Uh-huh. I'm like, well, I don't think you really want him back. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess he looked at her social media. I'm assuming it's Facebook. And then she said it took 8 hours before she was going to actually respond. Mm-hmm. And he had already, rejected the request and then put his stuff on private. Because he just wanted to know what she looked like, is what she thought.
Right. Which is true. That's exactly what it is. He wanted to know what she looks like. And he's like, and then she pointed out that all of his exes look like her.
Yep.
Interesting.
I said the same thing. I was like, that's quite interesting. If she is normally what he goes for, but she's not turning out that great. And then Laura, you know, wants to talk about Sarah Ann, and not only she took a screenshot of the chat between Sarah Ann that she sent to Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you took a screenshot of it?
Yeah.
Just so you can have it on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a little cray-cray.
Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't. But I'm not surprised. And we'll get to the whole was Jeremy wrong for liking it as we get to episode 9 in a second. But first, before we get to episode 9, I just want to say this because Happy Gardner made a point, said, trust me, moms do that. She needed to decompress from the experience. So basically what you're saying is she just needed to decompress from going through all of that emotional trauma of being in the pods and just needed to decompress so she didn't go back home and take it out on the child. I can see that. I just don't believe her.
I could see it. Now, I could see her saying, hey, baby, mommy's back. I'm going to see you on Friday.
Yes.
Love you so much. I didn't. And you sent a text message. Mm-hmm. That's great. But what she said is that she waited 2 days to text her daughter. And if mm-hmm. that's really true, I just don't buy that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, she wouldn't have been back anyway had she gotten to the next level. So it's not like her daughter was going to miss her. So if she did text her, would she be like, well, when are you coming home? Well, mommy needs some days. Mommy needs about 2 days. I'll see your ass in 2 days. And by the way, Shoshana says the reason why she took the screenshot, receipts. Women like receipts. Women like receipts. Let's just know that.
You saw it already. Like,
that's not enough, Gerald. That's not enough. You need evidence. Your Honor. Show me, man. I got the McDonald's bag in the back seat, Your Honor. Take you back to Def Comedy Jam, huh? Episode 9, Chelsea and Jimmy back on good terms. Because he walked out in the last argument.
It was right.
Like, F it, I'm out. Smart move. Because you're going to keep hearing this all night, and you know you got to work the next day. How you feel about them being back?
Well, I don't like Chelsea, so it doesn't, I'm not a fan. I'm like, Jimmy, you should have stayed gone. But I get it, right? You had a fight. You come back. You try to make it up. Apparently, he texted her that night, said, I love mm-hmm. you. And they're able to talk and try to get a little bit of understanding. Chelsea didn't mm-hmm. understand why he would say that she was clingy, which is one of her problems that she says she has to work through. And he definitely needs to work on his delivery, in Chelsea's words, 1,000%. So mm-hmm. I'm glad they got a chance to make up, but I'm like, Jimmy, look at all the red flags.
Yeah.
Stay gone.
The only thing I could say, at least they ended acknowledging that things, and both of them acknowledging things they did wrong and need to work on. Because I got irritated that she kept bringing the whole thing back up again. I'm like, Jesus, we just watched this last episode. Can we please move forward? But at least they acknowledge the things that they need to work on, right?
Right.
Now, this kind of irritated me with Laura and Jeremy. They're, you know, getting ready for her family to show up. And they're doing flowers. And Jeremy says, you know, well, put some water in there so it doesn't, you know, tip over. And somebody's got to be the smart person. And then she makes the whole college degree comment. And that just irked me.
It irked me, too, because I don't think that their type of sarcasm and joking trash talk, I don't think it's healthy. Mm-mm. You know, or they haven't been together long enough to get to a place where they know that we're not taking jabs at each other. We're just kind of having fun. But outside mm-hmm. looking in, it bothers me. And Laura's the one with the college degree, yet she always says, it's giving. It's giving it. It's giving that. So I don't know what she majored in, but it wasn't English.
It was giving. It was giving major. So Laura's parents, her brother and her sister-in-law come over for a visit. And did you notice that Laura let the dog lick her in the mouth?
Yep, I saw that. And I knew you would catch that. I saw it. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to talk about
that. He couldn't miss it. She got her lip pumped up. So, of course, he couldn't miss. He was like, something's wrong with your lip.
Yeah. So, I think Jeremy's doing a good job of trying to engage with the family. And the family seems to, you know, be liking him a bit. And then Laura just gets messy. Again, yes. She brings up the Sarah Ann IG thing. Why do you bring that up mm-hmm. to your family and all that? Then she keeps going in on the Hawaiian shirts again. And I was just like, what is with this girl? And I loved her dad said that if you make Laura a princess and put her on a pedestal, she'll walk all over you. And mm-hmm. yes, we are seeing that right now.
Yeah. It's interesting because they know her. they know her very well. Even the sister-in-law is like, look, your brother loves these Hawaiian shirts, and I love that he loves them. Get past it. She can't because she's still stuck on these damn Hawaiian shirts. Like, oh, my God, get over it. You're absolutely right. They're scared of her.
high school mean girl. Like, she had to be in the mean girl clique. Like, oh, my God, why are you wearing that? It's just ridiculous. Yeah. And I love her sister's attitude. She's like, look, if this is something he's interested in, I want him to be happy and enjoy that. So I would even buy him more Hawaiian shirts. She's like, well, you can take some. There's a bunch upstairs. She's like, I don't want to take his Hawaiian shirts. I'm going to buy your brother some Hawaiian shirts.
And that's why because I didn't understand why he met the brothers. Oh, we have some things in common. So I already like you. So they're already bonding there because, you know, she's probably throwing her brother under the bus as well, too, over that. AD and Clay, they're meeting Clay's mom, Margarita, and his sister, Taylor, for lunch. And did you notice, and I said I'd bring this back up, Nana, no, oh my God, voice that AD was using. She used it when they said, oh my God, I bought you roses too. Did you look at the way Taylor looked at her and was like, if you don't stop. And as soon as she stopped using that voice, everything just went, but she started speaking in her actual voice.
Yeah, because nobody wants to hear that. At all. And even Clay sitting there, although I think Clay still seems fake with his family, but it is what it is. I think the sister asked, you know, what does the sister, the mom asked AD what she does. Now, this was interesting. We knew that AD was a realtor. Mm-hmm. Didn't know she was running a nightclub and she's the VIP manager. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was new information for me. Did you know that?
I did not know that. And it was interesting. But because what I thought was interesting and very telling is Taylor's like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, I'll work today too. What did you do, AD? What did you do today? Because apparently Clay's told her already, yeah, well, she's just sitting around the house. She doesn't even work right now. That was so telling. And she purposely, because that's her brother, she teed that up to kind of, all right, let's try and bury this girl. And the thing though, is I like that when AD says she's cold.
Yes.
His mom, Clay's mom, Margarita, offers up her shoulder. But why is Clay still sitting over there with a big ass sweater on and never offers it up? It's like, yeah, go ahead, put that thin thing over you. You'll feel better. I'm nice and cozy over here.
It's because he looks good in that outfit for TV. He's not going to mess that up. This is the Clay Show. He's not going to mess that up. Why would he be like, oh, baby, here you go. Let me give you this.
Yeah.
No. It wouldn't have. I thought that was really sweet and nice of Clay's mom to do that. And then Clay's sister asked AD how she feels about his work schedule. And I thought this was a really great dialogue for a group of them. When AD said that she thinks that he will choose convenience and comfort. She doesn't mind his schedule, but she wants to see him put in more effort for quality time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is going to be a good conversation because I wanted to see what his mom was going to say based on whatever crap was going to come out of Clay's mouth. And Clay did not disappoint.
Clay did not disappoint at all. I mean, an hour. I mean, now, granted, living in Atlanta, living in Houston, if you're going to the grocery store, it's probably about an hour depending on traffic. Okay. So,
yeah.
Even if it's around the corner. But no, to be fair though, it's like, for him to be just like, oh, well, you just got to understand. And 2 days out of the week, I got to, this early in the relationship, that's a red flag. A huge red flag. Because if this is my homegirl, I'm saying, did you see where he's staying? Because he's probably with some other chick. He's seen her those 2 days out of the week.
Exactly what I was thinking, but let's just assume positive intent and Clay's not out there following suit of all the black men and his dad and everybody that he's ever been around, right? Mm-hmm. So what I didn't like about this conversation is that Clay didn't listen to what she said. Right. She's just saying that, hey, I appreciate you working a lot. I just want to make sure you're putting effort for quality time. Mm-hmm. So then he tries to turn it around and says, well, look, she just started working her job. She hasn't really gotten to her schedule yet. I've been working since we got back. Yes. I was like, what are you doing, dude?
It was a fight for him. And I like the way that, here's the thing I give AD credit for, right? I like the way she handled him in this one, right? Because she's in a position right now. She's watching him show out and basically tell, I'm going to tell mama on you. And that's what he's doing, right? But she handled it. And then even when he got a little aggressive, she's like, whoa. And she just that little motion, whoa. Then he had to catch himself like, wait a minute. Like, she handled him like she should have handled those women on the beach. The way that people have been trying to drag us for saying she should have handled them women, that's exactly how she should have handled them, not just the way she should handle Clay. And she did it well with Clay, and she needed to do it with everybody else too.
But she did it well with Clay, but what she should also pay attention to is when she told Clay, and I don't mind about the schedule, and then he just abruptly, well, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
If he's willing to talk to her like that in front of his mama, what do you think he will be like?
When
I would never talk crazy to someone I'm dating in front of my mom. I don't talk crazy to somebody I'm dating when my mom's not there, but especially when my mom's sitting right here. He felt nothing wrong with talking to her like that. I was like, are you kidding me?
You know why? Because, so look at this. Happy Gardner says, Claire's not a gentleman. He's suave like his dad. No, here's the problem. And I'll tell you what the problem is. He's a mama's boy, right? Now, the problem is, everybody's been giving his mom a lot of props in the live chat. And I'm going to give her props too. But there are two places I'm going to take that away. And these are huge negatives. And this is one of them, Terrell. Because she should have checked him at that moment. Yo, how are you going to talk to your fiance like that? Mm-hmm. Check him. That is your son. He's representing you. Because you already know what his daddy was like. She didn't check him. And that's a problem for me because there's no way I'm sitting at the table with my mom and talking to anybody like that. And it doesn't matter if the cameras are rolling or not. She's going to check me. And I'm not going to just say that's just the West Indian woman in her. I'm just going to say that is the mother in her.
Right. And he's not a mama's boy. He's a daddy's boy.
Okay.
He's acting like a mama's boy right now in front of AD because he went on all those infidelity trips with his dad that he didn't tell his mom about. So if he was a mama's boy, he'd have came home, mama, I saw daddy kissing. He would be telling on her. And so, no, he's not a mama's boy. And the fact that he felt comfortable enough to talk to AD that way in front of his mom and sister, to me, says a lot about how he possibly, let me back this up before I get beat up in comments again. It makes me feel like if he's willing to do this in front of his mom and sister, what is he like with other women?
Right.
And what will he be like? I can't assume that he's always been this way, but that was way out of line. Can't believe that the mom and the sister weren't like, Negro, are you crazy?
Right. And M. Smith agrees. You say he wasn't a mama's boy enough to tell her about that cheating. And you know what? CSG954 says he didn't even get up to greet his mama when she came into the restaurant. You know what? Y'all right. I recognize when I'm wrong. He is not a mama's boy. But she has babied the hell out of him. She has babied the hell out of him. Because there's no way that if he has been disciplined properly growing up, that he talks like that in front of his mom. Mm-mm. That's so disrespectful.
No, I can't even. No.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness.
That just irritated me, man. But also, here's something else that irritated me. And this is the second part with his mom that I did not like. Because I feel like she almost gave him an out. But she's like, well, here's what I'm going to say from my 23 years of marriage, even though it didn't last. And I was like, all right, good. She's about to spit some game. And AD, you need to understand. I was like, yo, hold up. She needs to understand. And his schedule, because he doesn't want to come home. And then she actually told him that he needs to make time. So at least she said that. But again, she served him up and catered to him first and then told him something that he needed. But then didn't really say it to him, just like, well, y'all need to make time. That's a problem.
I think that part of the advice was good about you need to make time. Mm-hmm. If it's important to you, make time. Mm-hmm. I think she could have held out my 23 years of experience. Because if you've been a cashier for 23 years and your register's always short, and then you got to give me advice on how to be a cashier, I don't think I should listen to all of your advice.
Stop it. It's not her fault that man cheated on her for 23 years. Stop it.
No. I'm not blaming her for that. I'm not blaming her for that.
You know that's what they're going to say in the comments.
I'm not saying it's the mom's fault. All I'm saying is I got to take your 23 years with a little grain of salt. because there's a whole lot of things that happened that maybe AD would be like, there's no way in hell I'd be okay with. So I know there's probably more to this story. We don't know all the details. Yeah. Clay spilled all the tea. All I'm saying is a little grain of salt with her 23 years.
They got me somebody in the comments. Terrell said, all black women.
Yeah. All black women let men cheat. I'm like, no. All I'm saying is she put up with a lot of cheating for 23 years. So.
Terrell said, don't take advice from black women. I can read the National Enquirer headlines right now. That's what's happening.
Right, I just don't think AD is the type that would tolerate a cheating Clay for 20-something years. No, where for whatever reason the mom did, her situation, wherever she did, that's good for her. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is grain of salt with some of the advice that she's given.
Grain of salt is hilarious. Something you won't find in Kenneth's kitchen.
All right, nothing so in Chelsea. Kenneth's just a dash of oregano with her opinion.
Oh, Jesus. Chelsea and Jimmy, they're meeting Jimmy's friends. And here's what I thought was interesting. When they ask Chelsea, once they found out she'd been married before, why does she feel like she's ready to be married again? And Chelsea starts running down the lies, starting with, well, I've matured. The hell? What show am I watching?
You know, I had to laugh when she said that. What has she learned out of, you know, after being divorced, that she's matured and all these different things. I'm like, no, you haven't. Mm-mm. And you probably need to have some therapy and some counseling before you really get married to someone else. Mm-hmm. First thing I was noticing is I think Chelsea was trying to size up Jimmy's friends to see how attractive they are, to see if it's a threat, because right. We know she doesn't like any of that. But then she gets into some of her insecurities. She tells them that previous guys who've had girls that were their friends have cheated on me with those friends. So, you know, I was a little reluctant. So she's kind of letting them know, hey, I'm already trying to keep an eye on y'all two right now.
Mm-hmm. By the way, a couple things here. Ruby Ray says, not Chelsea calling herself mature and Megan Fox. And then Tina and Otis said Jimmy has slept with at least one of those girls, right?
Yes. Yes. And I think it's the dark-haired one. It's the dark-haired one.
Wait a minute.
Barbara.
Because what was the first hug Jimmy gave her friend? Was that the dark-haired one?
I don't remember the order, but I think it's the dark. Because the other one said he's like a brother. Now, mm-hmm. it, to my knowledge, no one I've ever slept with has said, yeah, Terrell is like a brother to me. So I think the other one didn't say that. So I'm thinking that maybe the other one. Love is Blind, Alabama.
Oh, my God. So I was actually prepared for Chelsea to be jealous of these women. And even when the whole sex thing came up and when they're like, yeah, well, Jimmy doesn't turn down sex. Isn't that right? So maybe they're right. Maybe I questioned it just because. But then apparently I wasn't the only one who thought it, because you did too.
I did too. This one. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
That's who I was thinking he slept with. Is that one. I think her name was Barbara. Then she had like the darker hair. Yeah, that one is the one I think that he hooked up with.
Y'all,
but
y'all stupid, man. Tittabitties. Oh, I swear to chat, y'all are amazing, man. Y'all are amazing. Amy and Johnny, they were pretty uneventful in this entire one, because, you know, when we first see them, they're playing around in the house. We next see them, they're learning bachata. And then we see them when they're meeting his sisters.
Can you say that again?
Nope, I cannot.
Just like, bachata. I'm sorry. Learning bachata.
Just want to make you, I want to make you laugh real quick. That's
goodness,
all.
Goodness.
So they're meeting Amy's meeting Johnny's sisters, Maria and Anna, and Maria's fiance, Cameron.
Mm-hmm. And they all seem to have had a ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have thought that this is not their first meeting. Right. They seem like they've known each other for a while. Mm-hmm. They all really loved Amy. Mm-hmm. Amy really shows how much she really knows about Johnny, but also how much she cares about Johnny. Like, they're all sold from this whole meeting, which I was like, good for Johnny, because you don't see that in some of these other folks meeting each other's families, but this is one of the best ones I've seen in a long time.
Apparently, J. Noel says it was fine that they had, you know, the family was good and everything, but they can't dance bachata because it's too sexual and she might get pregnant.
Yeah. Well, but he had on jeans. She had a. It can't jump through the clothing. But again, he does have the super sperm. He's got a super sperm that's just gonna.
Hey, Tina and Otis said, "Did you see the dog at the table?" Terrell is fine with that, by the way. I'm the one that's not going to be fine with what?
Terrell does not have dogs at tables.
I mean, you kissed him in the mouth. What are you talking about?
I never do that. You keep saying that. Whatever a dog did to you that hurts you, if a dog poked you in the poop chute and it makes you feel uncomfortable,
hey,
whatever it is you have with dogs,
you and your dogs do together.
Stop. I have never had a dog on the table. Dogs don't sit up on the chair to eat off the table. Dogs don't lick me in the face, ever. Mm. But I love dogs over cats. All
you
day,
said
everybody.
Doggy kisses. You've said doggy kisses.
Well, you kiss like the dog. Kisses. I don't want the dog to kiss me in my mouth.
Okay. All right, Laura. I'm just saying. Speaking of which, we see Jeremy come in, sit down, and you're like, uh-oh, what happened? And then it's obvious that there's tension in the room because Laura comes down, are you just going to leave your shades on? And that's how you're going to talk to me?
Okay, I was curious to see what was up. Because this whole body language is like, okay, I'm about to get into some shit.
Yeah,
she comes downstairs. It's like he's like, you ever know you're in trouble? It's like,
brace.
Let me just cross my leg, shades on. Okay, bring it. Like he knew it was about to, he was about to catch some smoke.
But he was ready for it. I give him his credit. He was ready. He was absolutely ready for it. Nicole says Johnny has some nerve. No, Johnny has some guts to be able to sit there and go like, all right, whew, let's go. Then he took the shades off. He's like, all right, you want to see my eyes? Let's go. And we find out why. Because if we're mad at Kenneth, for staying out till 1:30 with his mentor and getting his hair braided and twisted and all that stuff that takes till 1:30 in the morning, then Jeremy was 4 hours more wrong for being out till 5, actually almost 5, because 5 hours more wrong because he was out till almost 6 o'clock.
Okay. And I really believe, like, there had to have been some editing of how they played this conversation, because the conversation doesn't flow the mm-hmm. way they shared it. But let's just break it all, you know, combine it all together.
Yeah.
He's out till 5.
Mm-hmm.
Laura's like, hey, well, bar closes at 2. Where were mm-hmm. you? And then he makes this whole, you know, well, Sarah Ann was going to be there, and she wanted to talk. Mm-hmm. And yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. That's what he should have said. Yeah. Then he tried to say, you know, we sat in the parking lot and we just talked. And mm-hmm. then he tried to make it sound like because he shared his location that everything should be okay and mm-hmm. Laura shouldn't be upset. And so she's like, well, okay, where were you? Because your location said, he goes, I was in the parking lot. There was a back alley. She's like, no, you weren't even in the same vicinity of the parking lot or the bar because you shared your location. You were over in this part of town where Sarah Ann lives.
So the funny thing about that, right, because he's like, well, you should trust me because I gave you my location, right? And as they're saying in the chat, Happy Gardner goes, Jeremy forgot that his Apple Watch still tracked his location. And that's also what Sarah S. is saying. Not Sarah Ann, but Sarah S. says he turned on his location and tried to lie about it, about where he was. Yes, because what happened was he didn't expect it to be up checking it. And she played it so smooth, though. One of the things you've got to realize that what Laura did, right? So Laura gets in there and is like, well, where were you? And lets him tell this elaborate lie. And she sits, I was in the parking lot. I was this. She just, And she's just letting him tell it. And that's, fellas, fellas, you've got to realize when this is happening, you're being set up for the okie doke and you got to stop talking. Because that's exactly what happened. He kept talking and he kept saying this the whole time. She knows She knows, and she's watching, and she's been up. She's like, I was asleep. Yet, no, she wasn't. She was around, and she was up checking, and she's just like, I'm going to let him keep telling this lie. Keep talking about it.
Now it makes sense. Now it makes sense when they're like, receipts. Yes. This is why they keep receipts.
This is what they were talking about.
Yes, this is what they meant by keeping receipts. It's because she just let him go on. Okay, so where were you? Mm-hmm. What happened? Da, da, da. And she knew the whole time that he was over by Sarah Ann's house.
Yeah.
Now, insane.
Here's how you know some of these women in the chat have caught guys this way before, because they're all giving up the secrets. He kept his phone in the car and forgot the watch. So you're saying he left his car there, left the phone in the car, like put it under the seat so nobody could steal it, got in her car, and went with her, is what it sounds like. If you got the Apple Watch, it's going to... It looks like it records your steps. These are the things that this is how you know either women have caught their men that way or they know how to cheat this way. I just want to say, ladies, you're telling on yourself. I just want to point that out.
So to me, it almost seemed like Jeremy didn't care. Like, I want to get caught. Mm-hmm. And I did this. I gave you my location. And then you rode over to Sarah Ann's house. It's like he wanted to get caught and he didn't care about it. So maybe that was his style or his motive here. Is I'm going to get maybe caught, she can blow it up, she'll end it with me, and I won't be the bad guy.
Maybe he had the phone and the Apple Watch, and that's why he shared his location in the first place. Because like Rosemary says, Jeremy did not care that she knew. He made up his mind that he was sick of her when he saw Sarah Ann and Laura had it coming when she tried to do the Chelsea and Jimmy happens to her.
Does. Now, Maureen, I think you're right. Maureen says, let's talk about how she was right about him not shutting it down with Sarah.
Which is, because I was going to ask that question earlier, and I said, let's wait till episode 9. Was he wrong for liking it? Because think about it. Even with her family, when they brought it up with Laura's family, right? Remember, Laura's sister-in-law was like, well, you should have just given it a thumbs up instead of a heart. And he's like, well, I just double tapped it. You can still change that if you wanted to. You know that, right?
Well, you can. But there's times you've sent me something, whether it be a reel or whatever, and I just double tap it because I'm just, you know, at a red light or at work. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean like, ooh, I love you, Yanni. I just was like, yeah, that's... acknowledge that I saw it.
We know why he double tapped it.
Because he wants to double tap it.
Exactly. We all know why he did it.
But in this situation... yes, he's wrong for not shutting it down. If you really want to be with Laura, you should have been like, hey, look, appreciate you. I'm glad you're doing well. I'm really happy in my relationship. I wish you the best and move on. Mm-hmm. But then also, here's the crazy thing about Jeremy. Not only does he double tap it with the heart, then he goes, hey, Laura, look at this.
Yes.
What do you think of this? Check
and
this
shows
out.
Shows her with the double tap.
Shows her the whole thing and lets her take a screenshot from her phone. Then he goes out, gives her his location, and comes home at 5 in the morning. So I think there's something up with Jeremy on this. Like I don't know what his deal is, but the dude, maybe he likes drama.
Mm-hmm. Or he was like, yeah, I can't deal with this. And actually, I should have gone this way before, and now that I've seen her, and she's telling me she's still... Here's the thing. There was no way for him to win, and I actually thought she let him off easy the first time. You can say, oh, she went a little hard. No, she let him off easy because there are a lot of people who would break up over that. You liked it. I know what that means. Because the guy's going to say, no, that's not what it means. Of course not. But you... I didn't respond. I didn't say anything back. Yeah. But what you did was she knocked on the door and you unlocked it. And not even unlocked it. You left a crack so that she could walk in. That's what he did. That's exactly what he did. And we know that. We can't even pretend like that's not what happened. We know that's what happened.
We do. 100%. Like, Jeremy knew what he was doing and he's good with it. And he's cold busted. But now Sinan's fans ask, so do men really stay up until 5 a.m. talking to their ex?
When you say talking, what do you mean?
Is that what the kids are calling it nowadays? Talking? No.
When you say talking, what do you mean?
No, no. And even if you're trying to set up the... Well, kind of. Kind of an ex. Ex from the pod. They had a relationship through the wall. Mm-hmm. But no. No guy is up at 5 a.m. talking to their ex unless... I can't even think of a reason. I can't think of a situation where you would talk to your ex at 5 a.m.
Well, hold up. Laura didn't ask the right questions because she wasn't in the pods with them. Remember, Sarah Ann is the one who loves to have conversations during sex. So he was up just talking to her.
Could have been.
I've solved it.
Yeah, but what was that conversation like? Was it like, man, Laura's just so crazy. You would not believe the drama. When you sent me that IG message, turn around for a second. When you sent me that IG message, she was mad.
Yeah, hold up. So here's the interesting one. J. Noel says Sarah Ann is conservative. There's no way she would do anything, right? Now, conservative in political. In political leagues. Yeah. That's it. Don't think they're not freaky on the right. That's why they keep getting caught doing stuff.
Trump's conservative. Trump is supposedly conservative, but we know he does things.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, like Drew says, he didn't lie. He didn't. They were talking, see? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But, Dorica says, hold up. He said women weren't capable of having a conversation during sex with him. And that's how we got back to her place. He's like, I'll prove it. Lucky for him, he's not lying when he said we had conversation because she kept talking.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think Jeremy's he's a bit of a wild card now. I mean, I had a lot of positive things about him, but just watching this whole deal, I think he just doesn't care. Whether I find love or not, I'm going to do me, and I'm going to have fun doing whatever I do on TV. Y'all deal with it. I feel like that's what he's doing.
Before we get out of here, this question real quick. Drew says, Laura is the wife everyone should be afraid of, trying to control your life instead of just letting you be you. But isn't there a limit to letting you be you?
Yes, if letting you be you is strolling the house at 5 a.m., no. What wife wants that? And then lying about where you are after you sent her the... She's not controlling... Now, is she annoying? Yes. Is she someone that's kind of that mean girl, the attitude, and just the way that she... I feel like she has a very immature thought process. But I don't look at her as this bad wife that you don't want. It's Jeremy is the one that did all the things. You know, Jeremy should have shut it down with Sarah Ann, just like Laura said. And Jeremy should have brought his butt home at 2:10 when the bar closed. You don't hang out in the parking lot with your wife's, your fiance's competition till 5 a.m.
Yeah. Okay, let's get a couple of these things out before we get out of here. One, Sean Unfiltered said, hey, guys, quick question off topic. What happened to the Ron interview? Did I miss it? No, you didn't. Well, you did, kind of, yeah. Because we did drop it. So it's there. It's still up. Go check it out. It's the one that says, was the catfish that good or the date that bad? And that's actually LaRon from Ready to Love and also some of the other castmates that jumped in as well. He had a few friends jumping with him at the beginning of the interview. So pretty entertaining and a lot of insight that goes into and actually some of the things he said that we would see in the next episode, which is Friday's episode of Ready to Love, which we will recap tomorrow, right?
Right.
Like, these days just keep flying, man. There's so many.
Yeah.
So many of them. So Bodine had a couple things, right? Well, one of the things he said first, did we all see that Kenneth's cousin outed him, right? I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
I didn't see it. But again, until I hear Kenneth say it, I don't trust stuff like that because you just never know.
Right.
What if that's an estranged cousin that hates him? It's just going to put that out there. And so far, everyone has ran with it. I don't know. I never assume what anyone's sexuality is until they tell me what it is, and I run with that.
Here's the thing I noticed, too. Anytime something goes on in these reality TV shows, somebody always goes, well, he must be gay then, right? And it's always, and we see it in the chat, we see it in the comment sections, we see it popping up a lot, and I don't think it's fair to do that just because he may not have liked her, but so be it. And at the same time, Naughty Knitter says, I don't like Kenneth, but as a gay woman who grew up in the South, his cousin never should have outed him. That can be a death sentence. And it's his business.
Right.
That is his story to tell anyway. So I agree in that case, right? You shouldn't put somebody out there like that if that is the case.
Right.
And if it is, it's his business.
If it is true, you shouldn't do it. If y'all are family, you don't do that. But if it is true, you shouldn't do it. But also, everyone shouldn't assume it's true just because someone's claiming to be Kenneth's cousin, because they might not be Kenneth's cousin. Could just be some random dude. Who knows?
Yeah. J. Noel also, Kenneth was on the Kelly Clarkson show when he became a principal. Okay, I didn't know about that. I also never watched the Kelly Clarkson show. So
I saw that clip, but it's just him pubbing the school and things they're doing at the charter school. But nothing about that made me think anything of him.
Did you also see this? I think I sent this to you. Did you see Trevor and his ex scheme to be on the show? The ex released to Texas. The Texas.
Okay, grammar police.
Yo, I always call people out when they said, I can't believe I actually said that. Next time I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the text. Again, I need Trevor to confirm, because anybody could claim to be his ex, put that stuff out there, whether it be Photoshop or fake, and put it out there and everybody runs with it. I don't know. I saw it. It seems messy. And if it is true, Trevor, you're not the great Gaston I thought you were.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's like, ooh, what about, man? It's been wild. Then Brandy Yvonne says, because there's so much coming about the cast on this show, man. Jeremy seemed nerdy in the pods, but turned out to be the biggest F-boy. Come to find out, he was also engaged before. It's like a lot of stuff coming out. You made a great point about this. Like, they have to address this on the reunion, right? They have to. They can't ignore it like they've been ignoring everything else.
I hope that they address this on the reunion. Now, if people answer it, or if people don't show up, you know, who knows? I would hope that they address it. And I think they should, because right now there's so much speculation that's going on. And of course, it's like a game of telephone. The story keeps getting better and better, bigger and bigger, different. You know, each person that tells it, that I think they should be able to address this. And that's Trevor, Kenneth, any of them, that all their tea is coming out. Somebody needs to come up and say something. If they don't, well, that's on them.
Taylor says, never trust a dude with a forehead rash. Talking about Trevor.
What if that's from the, you know, what if he takes steroids or something as part of his workout regimen? Maybe that's what that could be from.
Yeah, it could be. Still, never trust him. And it's interesting because my wife was like, look, they might as well just end this show now, because it's a done deal if this is what keeps happening. Like, it's just getting worse. It's like everybody on the show has something. What is it really now?
I'm curious.
Trevor and his girl should have just signed up for the ultimatum. Jeremy and his girl should have signed up for the ultimatum. That's the case. You want to be on TV, do that show. But hey. Oh, man. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And by the way, M. Smith said that's just as bad. You don't want a dude on steroids. Well, to be fair, neither Terrell nor I want a dude, period.
That's not what she was trying to say.
I know.
Jesus. Well, I
just wanted to end on a bad joke.
I got to go to Happy Gardner, and I was talking about the crystals. She said, as a fellow crystal girl, I can relate. And yes, I'm a little out there sometimes. Not Chelsea crazy, though. So see what I was saying about crystals? Some people are out there. But Happy Garden, I'm glad you follow us, and you're in the chat with us. So you rock them crystals all day long.
Hey, Ayo Fatu says they're all on Perfect Match, Trevor and Jessica. It's like now it goes from one reality show to the next. You don't make it, as long as you make enough of an impact, then all of a sudden you're on to the next show. Because remember that with The Bachelor, was it The Bachelor? Yeah. So, yeah. And to end us all, High Vibe says this show has proven that love is not blind.
Nope.
And so is Jessica. You know it. You know it.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh, we'll see the next ones and we'll be on it next time, man. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts from the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.